This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on there. Great to have you along. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to our TV audience nationwide, coast to coast, on this Monday evening. But little did you know that while you were at work, we were talking to the radio audience who just joined us just now. See, hello. Isn't that interesting how we just go back in time? And we deal with that.
You're listening on the radio. We might sound a little different than we do on television.
We're on. I have a couple of announcements in that respect. We're on iHeartRadio already.
Yeah, yeah.
We will be a featured podcast.
Ooh, what does
so
that
not
mean?
Only can you listen to us live how on the radio part.
Wow.
But I've always said podcasts are for broadcasters who couldn't make it in broadcasting. Right?
Now, I'm assuming since we're reaching another, you know, avenue to distribute our fabulous product, I'm going to get a paycheck increase.
Well, if you go sell the advertising, you can do that. Are you doing any more?
No.
Did you do any more to get the distribution?
I'm showing up with a good-looking haircut and a red jacket, Bob. That's all my contract asks.
No, that's your Remax contract. Yeah, so we are now going to be featured as a podcast, not only a show, but a podcast
That's
on iHeartRadio.
So we can cuss now?
No.
Oh.
But you can on the other networks, that's like Biz TV Network,
yes.
if we did another thing. So.
I'm loving that.
So good stuff. Great to have you along today.
Continue.
I want to finish my train of thought about the markets. Because we hit record highs last week. But this is all, you ever hear me say buy in the rumor, sell in the news?
Every year.
Yeah, that's what it's about. We're buying on the rumor of an interest rate cut.
Okay.
See, as good as things are going in the economy, the bottom line is that we are seeing a potential for wage stagnation.
Okay.
In other words, people aren't getting paid as much as they should be, even though we're 3.5 years into a real recovery.
Although some of the bigger retailers they're just paying more without the government telling them.
I would argue that wage inflation is going to happen right about when the election happens. Imagine how that works.
Huh.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen.
Plus, more people looking at more jobs. You got to be good at your job or they're going to take you out or they're going to pay you more because you are good.
Did you know that you need to evolve as good as you could be at your job?
Could be better.
You need to continue evolving. Here to talk about that, Suzanne Kretal is the, she is our in-house HR expert.
She lives upstairs.
She is what would be called a headhunter. She's the president of Seasoned Executive Search.
I don't think you're
and you can go
to
Seasoned
that.
Search. I think I am. I thought it was okay if I called you a headhunter.
You can. It's totally fine.
That is a good thing, right?
It is.
That's not offensive
no,
at all.
No, it makes sense. You know, people know what that is. If you've been working in out of college for like 5-10 years, you know exactly what a headhunter is.
Because it's a recruiter.
What's the new version of that?
Recruiter.
Influencer. Right.
But there's different types of recruiters. There's agency recruiters. Right. There's internal recruiters. She has done it all.
Yeah.
So she not only works with companies, she works with individuals.
That's
I would argue that people should hire you. Individuals, I don't care what part of the country, they should, I don't know if you have even time, but here I'm going to pitch it anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that they should contact you and put you on retainer so they can call you and ask you stuff.
Yeah.
I would love to have a Suzanne. I have a Suzanne in my pocket because if I have a question, I just call her up and
ask you.
But people, if they had the option to do that, I think that that would be a valuable service.
Yeah, I've been evolving, to tell you the truth. I actually had a company hire me because they were having an issue with an employee that was kind of all over the place, right? He was an excellent employee, brought a lot of business in, but he needed to figure out his path.
Focus.
Right? Yeah, he needed to figure out his focus. He needed to let go.
So they knew they wanted him, but they just didn't.
Yes,
but he didn't know why or something?
He was struggling to fit in the organization. Uh-huh. There was a little bit of animosity between other employees.
See,
and they wanted to keep
this is my last relationship.
Okay, I need to talk about that because there's this thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I've seen because I consult with publicly traded companies, but on a completely different level, just on financing side. But I see what happens there when you have a group of people that are already there, and there's the frenemy thing that goes on.
Oh.
They're very nice to you.
New kid.
But they sort of want to impede your growth because, let's face it, it's a competitive work environment, especially right now. Okay, and I realize it's tough to find good people, but once you have a bunch of good people in there, they're still going to claw their way to the top. And I think they do so ethically, but boy, that's a tough one. Because let's say, and I'm not going to say any one sector of the population, like maybe women might be worse than men or men might be worse than women, but I guarantee you it exists in all workplaces, right? What do you do? You go in and say, okay, people, everybody get in their corner. Settle down. Yeah. Because I can imagine a couple of guys being hired for similar positions and immediately peacocking to get the boss's attention. That crap happens, right?
Oh, totally. If you have a really good human resource department, they're trained and they're specialists in that. You know, utilize them, definitely. But a lot of these startups and smaller companies, they don't even have an HR person.
Yeah.
So what do they do, right? You know,
they
call me. You can hire me.
SeasonSearch.com.
I help navigate not only for the hiring manager, or in this case, it was the president of the organization. What's the best way to handle this, right? Yeah. You know, what do you do to mitigate this from happening again, number one?
Yeah.
And number two, how do you deal with this situation right now? Yeah. What do I do? Because I really like this guy. He's doing a killer job for my company, but it's causing problems with the rest of the workforce.
Right.
And I had to explain that when you have a situation like that, it almost works as cancer, right? It erodes your relationship with your other employees. Mm-hmm. And it's not good for the person, you know, to grow further on in their career either.
Yeah. What about those other people? I mean, isn't one way to handle that versus being, you know, pissy to evolve their own skill set? Because there has to be, I mean, you've talked about this, a half-life in respect to your skill set. Rusty Nails would be a perfect example of that. He was a stand-up comedian for many years, thought that I would still argue you should still only be a stand-up comedian.
I'm very funny.
But you thought that you should evolve into a musician also.
Well, I just did evolve because I was bored with what I was doing because I was doing it very well.
How's that career going?
Huh?
I mean, because you're...
You ought to hear me.
No, listen. I get stopped all the time about you.
Tonight I'm auctioneering. So that's
but you're good about that. I'm talking about you. But you've evolved your skill set.
Yeah, you have to pay attention.
Why do you have to
evolve? I think it's even harder now.
On this, right?
Yeah, there's statistics on this. It's even harder now. So the half-life is 2.5 to 5 years. So really, 5 to 10 years, your skill set's...
Valuable
they're
dope, as the kids say.
Is part of that because of technology, or just is it technology?
So if you think about, like, okay, so I have a 15-year-old, right? Yeah. And if I think about...
Who knows more than any three of us about these?
Tell us, what does that person say?
Well, he's constantly telling me, Mom, why don't you just use a shortcut, or why don't you do this? And I grew up not using shortcuts, you know, on Excel or whatever. And so I know how to go to file and or whatever, data or view or whatever. He knows every shortcut. He knows all this stuff. And I think it's great. I love that. Now, if I, you know, didn't own my own company and I was applying for a data analytics role, boy, would I need those shortcuts, right?
Yeah, right.
And there's lots of opportunities to learn those. I mean, I can start YouTube videos. I can go take a class in college. So the point is, you know, as you grow in your career, keep learning.
Yeah.
You know, and
stay valuable.
Well, they do that with certain occupations. Like, you know, if you're a CPA, you have to take continuing education. If you're an optometrist, you have several hours per year.
Yeah, but there's a lot of jobs that don't require that.
I know, and they should. I'm thinking. I mean, why is it only the professional degrees that do that? Because
take it upon yourself, though. You know,
There's no one going to come over. Come here, we need.
What are you doing to improve your radio broadcasting career?
I'm learning how to cut hair, and I'll be a masseuse in 20 years.
That's not
going to
help
days.
You on the air. Can I tell you that the millennial job reckoning is a coming? And
what do you
mean? We've talked about this before, because in the next 6 years, 75% of your employees and 75% of your customers are going to be millennial.
Those guys.
And then Gen Xer.
Yeah.
And that creates an issue with the dyed-to-the-wool hiring manager that's just used to hiring, us, and we're not them. And then you've got, beyond that, you describe a 15-year-old. I don't even know what that's called. Is that called Gen?
I don't know what it is either.
Like Gen double A. We're back to A.
We're
back to A. So, but the point is that those skill sets are even well advanced beyond the millennial skill set. How do you navigate through that on both sides of the equation? Because you've got the candidate, but then you also have the hiring manager. Both of them are going to have to give a little bit coming forward here to be able to work together.
Yeah, I think sometimes we get so used to our core job and what we do, we kind of forget what's around us. Mm-hmm. We aren't paying attention necessarily because we're just doing our job and we're going to go home. We have another life outside that. Mm-hmm. But I think if we all stop and kind of pay attention, even to what our kids are doing, right?
Right.
I remember in first grade, my son was learning pre-algebra. I didn't get pre-algebra until I was in seventh grade.
I'm still waiting.
Yeah. There you go. So
all of us are still waiting to use it.
Yeah. Hold on. I can tell you.
If you pay attention to even what your children are learning in school, it kind of opens your eyes into, boy, I should be doing something a little different, or I should be learning something unique and different.
And so should they, too, like maybe cursive writing.
Oh,
why?
Yeah,
why do you need cursive
anymore.
Writing? That's the point. Why do you need cursive
writing? In about 20 years, they're going to be sitting at a party and go, watch this.
Oh, just for party tricks.
How'd you do that?
Yeah.
You didn't even have an iPhone.
Because I also think that there's certain things like we shouldn't be teaching because they're useless anymore. Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example. And this is one that happened when we were in school. They no longer teach Latin. Remember, we only had the choice of taking Spanish or French or so I don't even remember the other.
Right. Yeah.
But the point is they stopped teaching Latin back in the mid-60s.
That's when the priest turned around and started doing mass quotas.
But the point is, is that there's certain things that are not relevant anymore. And I think cursive writing might be one of them.
Then you're one of those guys that just knows a little about everything.
What does that make you? Oh, yeah, rusty nails.
Like I'm saying, if you're sitting at a party, hey, watch this.
What's sitting at a party? I love how you think. The rest of the world's listening to Suzanne Kretal.
There's so many parties.
They're trying to figure out how to get hired better, faster. And you're thinking about party tricks. And here's how to make the perfect martini.
And how to get hired at a party. Watch this, Bob. Other little magic.
You pull that in? Wait, Suzanne's not going anywhere. All we know for certain is that the future is uncertain.
Yes.
She's going to take you through that in just a minute. Seasoned Executive Search. You can go to SeasonedSearch.com. Or Suzanne, coming up. Stand by.
I'd like to sing from my second album now.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Do you have a wardrobe malfunction on your Reebok? You were just a mess under that coat.
I know.
I'm seeing stuff that people shouldn't see.
Bobby.
Let's just button the bottom button just to save us all.
That. Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
Welcome back.
That's like a new fashion thing.
I think you want the Smollett?
The Smollett.
I got it.
You just don't care, do you?
I don't. Really should have. 2 years ago.
Suzanne Kretal is our guest. She is our resident recruiter, executive search, and HR professional here at the studio.
And Bob's
She's also appeared over on America Trends. She's been on News Radio 600 KOGO, which covers San Diego to Santa Barbara out east to Yuma. She'll be my guest this weekend on San Diego Business Saturday. San Diego Business Saturday. I should call it...
What?
Left quarter of the country business Saturday.
That sounds so much better.
It's a giant footprint. Radio only, if you ever want to catch that. We could link that here, couldn't we?
What?
Big Biz Show?
No, yeah.
We can link that from here.
Link anything.
You can listen to it on the iHeartRadio app, which is everywhere. There you go.
Okay.
What are you saying?
I was saying that I'd like to have someone like this young lady, available by a phone call in case I'm in the middle of an interview and I don't get the question. I have to step out. I need to use the bathroom.
You should have an app. You know what? Did you hear the story about the chess tournament guy who went to the bathroom? He went to go tinkle and he accidentally looked at his phone and now it's a big... they thought he was cheating, and he really wasn't cheating.
Oh, he just wanted to see what's posted.
You should create some sort of an app where it's like you're sitting there, and, so, Mr. Sullivan, tell us about your... And you hit this, and then suddenly, you give me 5 good bullet points that I can talk about.
But if you have beautiful eyes.
Well, that's the wrong app.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, but if everybody's listened to me on this show and knows me and has spoken with me, they know that they need to be prepared before they get there.
Yeah,
so.
Wow. Look at you.
Now, are you for hire... I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but are you for hire for people... Because you don't need to be face-to-face. You could do phone counseling and Skype and all that
stuff. Right. I do a lot of career coaching. So maybe, I specialize in consumer goods, right? That's my specialty. All recruiters specialize in one industry. Mm-hmm. That's mine. Hmm. But, interviewing skills go transcend industry. So I can work...
So when you place people, it's in that. But as far as interviewing skills and putting your CV together, resume and all that stuff.
Do you give fashion tips, too? Like, don't wear that red jacket.
I do, actually. Yeah. Well, I would love it if somebody wore a jacket.
If Russ walked in like this,
with cut off sleeves,
they think you just got out of prison or somebody's giving you a leg up.
I've been resting up for this job for 10 years.
Hey, before we move on, I want to talk a little bit more about the future being uncertain.
Yeah.
How does that relate to people being hired, people hiring, and how they should be handling their existing jobs and such?
Well, here's something I think hiring managers and organizations in general really need to consider. I get a lot of people asking me, what sort of training do they provide? Where am I going to be in the organization 5 years from now? Because as we talked about earlier, our skill sets have a shelf life. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to make sure, or how are you going to help me keep my skills sharp? And what sort of things do you offer? And that's a question. If you aren't prepared to answer that, you could potentially lose a really highly skilled candidate.
Wouldn't they think you're being a little snooty? what do you got for me?
It's a candidate's market, though. I mean, and we're evolving. We all have to evolve. I'm sorry. If you stayed in a glass house or a small confined area for the last 20 years, you're not going to attract the right kind of talent.
I have to ask you this because, you know, I get in these conversations all the time just because I do talk radio. And actually, the host of the San Diego Morning News on News Radio 600, Kogo, has asked me a number of times. He goes, why aren't I feeling this economic boon that's happening in the U.S. And I can tell you, because people making between $50,000 and $100,000 a year aren't feeling this because of wage stagnation. Because typically when you see economy get hit, usually the small business is the first one to feel the hit because people stop spending money.
Yeah.
And when people start coming back into the marketplace as far as spending money, small business is the first one to actually benefit. But it takes about 3 years to go from, oh my gosh, we lost all our employees because we barely stayed in business, to now I can start paying people more. Are you seeing better wages now versus before? Or what's going on when you're seeing hiring managers now? Is it getting any better with wages?
You have to have better wages. Yes. You're not gonna
because you're competing
them.
Now.
Yes, it's very, very competitive. And as I've said before on the show, I specialize in digital and e-commerce jobs. That's another area I focus on. Mm-hmm. And it's even worse in that sector.
Because it's just so fat with talent.
Yeah. Well, everybody's happy where they are, number one.
Yeah, yeah.
There aren't a ton of people that have that skill set, number two. Mm-hmm. So in order to attract that, you've got to be really competitive. So even if you live in a really small town, let's say somewhere in Tennessee, but you need an Amazon expert, you're still going to have to pay the normal wage. You cannot get away with because it costs less to live there.
Wow.
You know, paying them $20,000-$30,000 less because, you know, you think you can't. You aren't going to be able to do it.
Well, that should improve the whole area then. You've got some high
wage guys. Do you ever tell people sometimes that, look, you just can't live in New York or you just can't live in Florida? You're going to have to go for your job. You're going to have to go live in Jackson, Tennessee for a while, but you're going to have a great standard of living. Do you ever talk about maybe having to relocate to find the best job suited for a candidate?
Absolutely. And I can give you an example. So I had a candidate I placed at a very large CPG company, and they're headquartered in a smaller area.
Okay.
He was in Chicago before.
Wow.
You know, you like that kind of town, right?
A lot
of life. You're young.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And I had to sell him, and I did a good job of it. And believe me, the company did a good job on it as well. And it's a very prestigious company to move to this smaller community. And I, you know, it's going to help your career. And it did. And I saw him.
How tough was that, though, talking him into that, though?
I have to be careful. I cannot talk him into it because at the end of the day, what if he doesn't like it and he leaves? And then that's a bad reflection on
what me. You do the old Ben Franklin close. You know what Ben Franklin used to do when he was facing a tough decision, Rusty?
Fly kite.
You put a plus sign on one side of the paper, you put a negative sign on the other side of the paper, and you list
the goods and bads.
Yeah, so pros and cons, yeah.
So if you're trying to sell somebody, you help them do the plus side.
Yes.
And then you shut up when the money.
Right.
And he said, you just messed him up on the bottom. Oh, there's seven pluses and two minuses.
What town is this, by the way? I'm going to look them up. Because I'm from Chicago.
Russ brought up a great point about teaching kids cursive and stuff like that. And I said, there's certain subjects that you don't need to pay attention to. You have some research on the fact that our preschool kids or our primary school kids are actually pointing the way to what we should maybe be paying attention to. Talk about that.
Yeah, 65% of those kids that you just described are going to work in different jobs that don't exist today. That's huge.
So let me tell you why. This here's proof. The word iPad was not in our lexicon 10 years ago.
No.
The word iPhone, I think it's been less than 12 or 13 years since didn't even exist. You didn't know what a smartphone was 13 years ago. That's sort of the speed of light that we're moving at here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So does anybody have any?
What kind of job will that be?
Well, look at video gamers are now the most sought after weapons analysts for the U.S. military.
Drone pilots
sitting in Las Vegas, Nevada, looking over other parts of the world. I mean, those are the types of things that are going to be coming up. How do we learn from that stuff?
Jeez.
You know, before I answer that, I want to answer one other thing that you brought up that light bulb came on. My friend just spent some time in Venice with her kids. It was kind of a last minute trip. It wasn't planned. And they rented bird scooters. And he knew the entire landscape of where everything was in Venice because he plays it on a video game.
Oh,
she
wow.
didn't know where she was going, but he knew because he...
I love that.
Isn't that fascinating?
So he's tooling through like he knew. It's like,
there's a bakery right up here. Turn left, watch for the bus.
Listen, you're not going to get the answer to the question I just asked her unless you listen online on Saturday at New City of Business Center, because she's going to be my guest this week also. Suzanne, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Seasoned executive search and consulting, and someday we're going to have her talk about her cooking website, because she is a fantastic cook, although she doesn't like to talk about it.
We're gonna pick. Is that where the season comes from?
That is exactly where the season came from. All right, Tom Del Vaccaro, author of The Divided Era, joins us next. Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com.
Wow, wait a second, man. What do you think?
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates, and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org. Live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Nationwide, coast to coast, every day on TV and radio at the same time. Yep, we're multi-format. You can also catch us online. Also, you can catch us over the top on networks such as Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Roku, Binge Television Networks. What? We are brought to you by Prudential. Let Prudential be your Rusty.
Boom! Rock!
For retirement. Also brought to you by Rock Mobile. Don't be a rockhead like Rusty Nails.
What?
Get a Rock Mobile mobile plan for...
Hi.
You got something on your chin there.
Hi.
Yeah,
the beard.
Shave that off.
The rock beard.
Also brought to you by Bayer Advanced. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
Better believe it.
Starbucks Coffee's a sponsor. They've got a bigger, bolder menu.
I'm so sick of this.
Did you say bolder? Yeah, I said
bolder. Yeah, you said bolder.
Bloomin' Brands. They're fine family of restaurants, including Fleming's Steakhouse, Carrabba's Italian Grill. Boy, I like me a...
Carrabba's. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
I like it. Boy, I like Carrabba's.
I do.
That's
it. Yeah.
I like me. So you can say some Carrabba's.
Especially the one
I
in
like
Denver.
All the Carrabba's.
I saw two nice Carrabba's in Denver. Or was it Boulder? It's a pet rock. It grew.
Hey, did I hear that Magnum P.I. was coming back, or did it already come back and die?
Back and dead.
Back and dead?
Yeah.
Who played the guy?
No
one. Oh, really? I think like a guy like, who do you think could play? Who could play? Like
Selicky?
Tom. Well, it's Thomas Sullivan Magnum was his name on the air. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, his full name on air, Tom Selleck, was Thomas Sullivan Magnum.
Huh.
But who do you think could...
You know, in Flipper, the kid's name was Rusty.
That's right. That's right. We're almost famous. Who do you think would be the perfect Thomas Magnum?
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a tough one. Maybe The Rock?
No.
Maybe. A little bit.
God, he could be.
My first one.
My first one was like Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Right?
It's too weird.
Why would that be weird?
I don't know.
He's got to be kind of athletic.
Yeah, but he's not.
Swarthy.
I don't think. You need a... bigger guy, you got to outdo, Selleck.
Right.
So you got to be a
bigger draw.
Who would be a...
Hell, I'd do it.
How about Dennis Quaid?
How about that? No, he's old. He's selling insurance now, isn't he?
Dennis Quaid is... It's Randy Quaid, his brother.
I don't know.
No, that's Quaid. The guy from the other thing.
Yeah. A Quaid here, a Quaid there.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm dropping Quaid.
You almost cussed. I can feel the fact that you almost cussed.
I got to think about this.
James Hurston is with us. James Hurston, of course. I said Tom DelBacaro. I got confused because they both are...
He could do
political
it.
...political analysts. James Hurston could be Magnum P.I. He's the coolest cat around.
Instead of a mustache, you'd have a harmonica right there, ready to go.
Just like mounted?
Flip down, go.
A flip down harmonica. Could that be another Russ team? Russ's.
I think I'm going with it. Looks like a mustache.
Or Russell's.
Guess what?
Flips down.
All right.
James, I'm so sorry.
Help us.
James, how are you, sir? Great
Monday.
To talk to you.
I'm doing great, but it couldn't be Russ, couldn't be me for the Magnum PI thing. It has to be woke social justice casting.
Oh yeah!
Kind of like the new James Bond is going to be an African American woman.
Really?
So
I can see
like
that though. So that Bond men will wear, you know what though?
What?
I know that it's sexist, but you know what? But I will tell you, I was at Bird Rock Coffee Roasters the other day after a workout. I'm a little sweaty, looking kind of hunky, and I'm walking out, and this woman walks up the street with a surfboard, and she's wearing what looks like the James Bond wetsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first of all, she knows that she's wearing. I pull up, she looks at me, I look at her, I go, I didn't say you look like one of the Bond girls because I thought that would elicit a bad response.
Okay.
I go, you look like you should be James Bond. And we're having dinner tonight.
I bet.
You like that?
Yeah.
You like that?
I do like that.
Couldn't tell you what she looks like, but I can tell you what from here down looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. I got.
Wow. Yeah. Pickup lines.
It wasn't even meant to be a pickup line. I just thought, hey, you could be James. And we started talking.
You should be
talking.
James Bond.
You started talking. You know, and I, you know, what's that smell? It's the smell of testosterone, honey.
Wow.
You know, I just got done working out. It's fun. Anyway, James, let's talk about what's going on with some of these Democratic Congress people. That are seriously, what's the one who's married to her brother? I forget her name, and that's going to be a scandal, James. I forget her name.
The one who said
a few things happened on
9/11. No, I mean the big controversy is whether or not Trump was correct in calling them out, and in his tweets, and whether or not the follow up with Lindsey Graham, where he called them. The four of them who were called themselves the squad.
Yeah.
He called them communists. And you know, the problem is that
we have a generation that
has not been educated as to the evil of socialism in full flower, which is communism, which has killed more people than all the wars combined. I think it's great that the president did that, and I don't think it hurts him politically at all. I think the rhetoric of these four are anti-American, anti-free market, anti-Israel.
Oh, wow.
They're anti-Semitic, and they're just antithetical to everything the country stands for. So, but you have to realize that me saying that, according to the mainstream media, automatically classifies me as a racist.
Yes, of course.
Well, sure. This does.
If a lady, if you argue with a lady now, you're a sexist. If you argue with someone of color, you're a racist.
Can I tell you that I just saw a special on Netflix? With the Indian cat from Community or Parks and Rec? Aziz something.
Okay.
Very good. It was not what you would expect. He called out, you know, how white people are trying harder than ever before. He also called out the fact that aren't we overreacting a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was very, very good because I watched it and I thought to myself, okay, I want to hear because my daughter said, you got to watch this.
Yeah.
And one of my daughters is very, very liberal. The other one's very libertarian. And I watched it and I thought to myself, if this is how we could all act on both sides, because he didn't do any Trump bashing.
Right.
He certainly didn't stand up his message is, look, times are different.
Yeah.
He goes, crap that I did on Community a couple years back, I can't do anymore. And here's a guy of color saying that, and I would say, you know what? Okay, I can respect that. the same time, he was saying we're being a little too over the top, that every single thing somebody says is, you can't be accidentally racist all the time.
Yeah, right.
Right, James. I think that's where politics needs to go, because these people, this squad, I think you call, I forget what you
the
call
squad,
it.
Yeah.
The squad. Like AOC, for example, is going to be laughed out of the. She's going to be so irrelevant in the next 18 months, because at some point, people, she's going to realize that she's making it up as she's going along here. She's using a social media following and very little actual data to make her point. James, stay right there. We're going to talk about that, because I don't think these guys can last forever.
Come on.
Do you? Do you think they can last forever?
No, there they are.
AOC is kind of cute, though. I can tell you that.
I don't want to. You're a sexist, then.
Yeah. Does that mean I'm sexist? I say she's cute?
I think it is.
I'm not allowed to say a woman is cute anymore.
No, she's not cute.
Okay.
At least one of them's got her hand over her heart, I think.
That's AOC.
That's rare.
That's AOC.
But is
that sexist to say I think she's cute?
It's sexist. It's xenophobic.
It's not xenophobic. I got
labels I don't even understand anymore.
How about I like that coat?
Well, I'm smart, too.
Well, I saw you at the parade.
What? You did?
Even that, huh? Wasn't that you?
Russ is talking about the LGBT Gay Pride Week.
So fun. I saw one guy put
best people watching ever.
They are.
That and Comic-Con all in the same week.
I know it. Are you Batman or are you...
Asking the hard-hitting questions you want answers to, but mostly just drifting off and staring blankly at the wall. It's the Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live at the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show is on the air, everybody. Nationwide, coast to coast. Coming up tomorrow, Tom Del Beccaro, Taste Spore,
Carol Malik.
So we have a biotech day tomorrow.
That's a guy's name,
mixed
right?
Mixed in with cannabis. Yeah, Carol Malik is a guy.
No, Spore.
Taste Spore is a guy also.
Yeah, that's it. That's
so we have a biotech cannabis day with Tom Del Beccaro. Wrote a great piece, which I helped him with.
Attaboy.
For Fox Business.
Did you spell check?
Actually, I didn't. No, he sent it to me, and I looked at it and blessed it. Tom's a frequent guest on the Saturday show as well. But we're not allowed to get political anymore. So I used to love, I have James on all the time when I was on Kogo.
Yeah.
But I can't now because they won't let me be political. I have to be sort of down the middle of the road.
It's hard to be. Yeah. Stupid.
Yeah. You call me stupid?
No, I'm just saying. Oh. That's how comedy is now, too. You get too political. There goes half your crowd. There goes the other half. They start protesting, hashtagging, videotaping you, socially shaming you.
Okay, James, how dangerous are people like AOC? Is she dangerous? Like, you know, Hitler changed the mind of a country and you know, without really having any... I mean, the guy had very humble beginnings. I mean, AOC was a bartender, and she really is where she is because of social media. She got viral. It ain't because of her brain. She doesn't even understand how government works at this point. Is she actually dangerous because she does have the ears of millennial voters?
She's dangerous to the Democrat Party. Her approval rating is 22%.
Okay.
She's they're both, you know, the people that want to get rid of her include Republicans and Democrats. She is probably the most responsible for the difficulty that Nancy Pelosi has in running her party, creating that division and empowering this group that calls themselves the Squad, including Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar's approval rating is at 7%.
Oh, she's
so fine. These people, they're dangerous to themselves and they're dangerous to the Democrat Party. And the more they speak out, the more the mainstream media gives them attention, the better it is for President Trump's reelection bid.
So my question would be this.
He planned it.
And that same question I had with, maybe I asked you this last week. I thought it was Tom. LGBT represents 3% of the population. 3.5% of the population. That's it. Okay? You got an approval rating together of these two women that are less than 30%. Okay? You have 29% approval ratio. Why do we care if they're this much versus really what the status quo is following? Why do they get so much of a loudspeaker when they are really such a small percentage of the voting population?
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons is because it's an election year and because we have this primary overloaded with candidates that is being driven by the far left wing of the Democrat Party, who the candidates believe they have to cater to because those are the people that are going to show up at the polls at the primary.
Yeah.
And so that drives the media narrative. And then, of course, particularly for AOC, she was such a surprise win in her district because only 17% of the people voted. But she won against a real strong incumbent. It was a surprise win. And she's been able to catapult that with outrageous statements into staying in the media spotlight. She's very good at that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just about visibility, then, is really what it's about.
Yeah, but it's visibility, but you're right, but it's dangerous for the Democrat Party. And to some extent, you know, you asked about the millennials. I think we have a crisis of education in this country. We have people that have come up being taught in institutions by individuals that want to teach a hate America first approach to every problem. So these kids come up, instead of appreciating the positives of this country, they focus on the negatives.
So James, let me interrupt you there and ask you. Let me ask you, you yourself teach at a Christian university and you teach law and you're teaching kids my daughter's age. Are you witnessing that yourself? I mean, I know your institution is not like that, but are you witnessing in the classroom?
Straight from the mouth.
I mean,
every teacher who teaches in a college, especially undergraduates, will tell you this, that the basic skill set of students has gone down, trended downward every year.
Wow.
For probably, you know, the last couple of decades, because of the infiltration into people in the public schools of an educational philosophy that is non-pragmatic, that doesn't work, and it is agenda-driven. It harms us. You know, we see those test results all the time of young people having lower scores when it comes to math and science than people in other countries, but higher scores when it comes to self-esteem. I think the self-esteem movement has harmed as much as it has helped in this country because we've gone overboard on it.
That's the participation trophy stuff.
Right,
and you're good and you're fine.
So here's my last piece of this thing is that I was talking about wage stagnation earlier in the program and saying that I believe wages are going to come back just about in time for the 2020 election. You may not see a stock market that's booming during the election because we've had such an expansion cycle. In fact, I would argue that the market's probably going to start going sideways next year because, as Tom Del Beccaro points out often, you tend to go sideways in the market on election years. But the economy is still very strong. Our dollar is our spending dollar. I'm not talking about the world currency. I'm talking about the spending dollar for U.S. Citizens and taxpayers has never been better, really. And you know, we're at a 60-year low on unemployment. If wages catch up with this thing, Donald Trump's not going to be beatable, is he? I mean, no matter how he steps in it and smears it in the carpet with his mouth, I believe he's unbeatable. How do you feel about that, James?
No, unless something comes out of left field. I think the wild card in the economy, I think you and Tom are right about going sideways, but the wild card is what happens if President Trump gets what he wants in the trade agreements, particularly with China, but even other trade agreements. And we see a kind of a shot in the economy, positive from the trade agreements being done and taking out that uncertainty. And I think that could come during the election.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I will tell you this. I believe, James, that the stock market has already taken into consideration if President Trump wins. And if he doesn't win, you better hide all your money somewhere. James, thank you so much. James Herson, Newsmax, jamesherson.com. Fantastic. I love that guy. Chris Janikas, our director. Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Matovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our composer, our editor, our keeper of keys, and from whom all blessings flow.
Because Russ is fat and bald.com was taken.
Russ is funny.com because...
Oh, we'll get that in editing.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Big show. Big.